Psalm 33. Keep your Bible open to the Psalms because we're going to look at a couple of passages in Psalms today on the subject. Obviously, with the word praise appearing over 150 times in Psalms, we shouldn't have any trouble finding a couple of passages here that speak about praise. Psalm 33, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, watch it, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise is comely for the upright. For something to be comely, it should have a pleasing appearance. Or for something to be comely, it should be suited to the thing that it's associated with. About Jesus Christ, it says, the Bible says, he had no form nor comeliness that we should desire. So his physical features were not desirable. He was not pleasing in appearance. But it is, praise is comely for the upright. That is, praise is suited for people who are living in righteousness with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, it's not, you don't think it's out of place, for instance, for a person who is upright to praise the Lord for something God has done, because you realize there's an association there. People expect to see an upright person praising the Lord. You know what I've noticed in my own life, and I've noticed in other people's lives? When you're not upright, you're uptight. When you're uptight, yeah, praise isn't comely. because that, what's happened is you're backslidden or something like that. So more importantly than other people seeing what they expect to see from Christians, God is looking for our praise to be comely. He looks down and says, these are my people. They're in church on a Wednesday night. Praise from us should certainly come before the Lord as something that he would expect to see that's suited for his people. And our praise should have a pleasing appearance to the Lord. All right, so the kind of praise that is comely, so praise is comely for the upright, the kind of praise that is comely is fourfold. Number one, it's comely when you praise God with your whole heart. Look with me in Psalm 9, verse 1. The kind of praise that's comely is the kind of praise that is wholehearted. It's comely when you praise God with your whole heart. Notice Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord. How? With my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. You know, we have a tendency as Christians to be half-hearted about some things of the Lord at times, and certainly some things of the Lord that we ought to be doing wholeheartedly. And for those of us who are more reserved in our demeanor anyway, we're not openly expressive. You know, you go to a ball game, your team wins, and you're like, okay, well, let's go home. Yeah, the rest of the team's going, you know, crowd shouting. You're like, okay, well, you're more reserved. Your personality is a little bit more like mine, not so prone to exaggerated excitement. But I'll tell you, when it comes to praising the Lord, we shouldn't be half-hearted about something we know God has done in our lives, something about which we should praise God with our whole heart. And here's the situation. The Lord knows. Man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. The Lord knows whether your heart is in it or not. When you praise the Lord with your whole heart, he knows that you know he's worthy to be praised because you put your heart into it. You know, you've seen couples. Well, I don't want to go down that road. You know, you say I love you because that's what you're supposed to say, but there's really not much to the expression. Wholehearted, there ought to be something to it. Now, I'll tell you what's happened, particularly to us Baptists. The charismatics have made a vain show of openly praising the Lord, right? They seem more like the wooing, cheering crowds at a concert. Has anybody here, well, maybe you don't want to admit it, but if you've ever seen a concert on television, if you've never been to one, if you've been to a concert, okay, there is a thing going on there where the people are all, you know, getting into the concert, right? Okay. Well, when you see that going on in church, you know, you look at that and you go, that shouldn't be going on here, all right? That looks more like the flesh. That doesn't look so much like the heart. But what's happened is we have a tendency to back off from that, to tone it down, because we don't want to look like that to the Lord. Look, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to openly praise the Lord. I made a mistake. Okay, all right, good. What, I let the cat, I mean, if you only have so much more time left, right?
That's right.
Give it all you got and let the Lord know how happy you are to be able to praise Him. You know, when David brought the ark from Kirjath-Jearim to his city, Michal, his wife, was watching him praise the Lord. And he was having quite a time. You know, he got in that ephod and he's out there dancing in front of the Lord. She despised him for it. Right? She's like, well, I can't believe what my husband's doing. He's the king. You shamed yourself in front of all these people. His praise was to the Lord. It was not to men. And he wanted the Lord to know how much he appreciated the Lord for being who he is and doing what he's done. So I just want to say that the kind of praise that is appropriate, the kind of praise that is suited to God's people when we're living in righteousness, is praise that comes from the whole heart. We have the God of the universe for our God. And He is good and He is great and He has done great things and He's doing great things. And that should affect our heart, and when it does, it should affect our praise to be wholehearted. All right, so that's the first kind of praise that is comely, wholehearted praise. Praise God with your whole heart. Here's the second one. Look in Psalm 28 and verse 7. All right, the kind of praise that's comely is the kind of praise that comes when you praise God with your whole heart. There's also one when you praise God with your song. Now you can see why I wanted to sing one song and we do this, because we have three more songs to sing. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. There are probably more connections in the Bible to singing and praising the Lord than any other connections to praise. Most praise is expressed in song in the Bible, certainly in the Psalms, which makes sense because that's what they are. So when we sing here, we have the opportunity, no matter how many of us are here, whether it's a small Wednesday night crowd or a big Sunday morning crowd, we have the opportunity to praise the Lord and lift Him up with our voices. So there's only two places where you're going to be able to sing out and not be embarrassed. Your shower and here. George Mixon used to say when he was still alive of Mary, she can sing in the shower, but she can't sing well. I told her, I said, well, if it's joyful, you sing that way here. And so she does when she's here. So when we're singing, our minds should be fully concentrating on the words of the songs we're singing. But when you sing a familiar song, it is very easy for your mind, I can tell you, it's very easy for my mind to be on something else than the words that we're singing. That is very easy to do. Because we're familiar. How many times have we, you know, sung Nothing But the Blood, for instance? You got to just go through all that, and you're thinking about whatever, your grocery list or something. Well, that's not really praising God with song. You know what that is? That's singing, because that's what we're doing at that moment in the congregation. But God's not getting anything out of it because it's not directed toward Him. You know, we should be totally engrossed in our thoughts about the Lord when we're singing to the Lord. That's the way it should be. Sing out. You know, I've been in churches, honestly, where the congregational song service is like singing in a choir. Literally. Everybody's singing and you can hear the various parts. Well, if you don't know parts, you're going to sing the melody. But I mean, I'm just telling you, I've been in there where there are 300 people in the church and you can hear the various parts in every song, every person is singing out. It just carries you with it. I remember the first time that I went, before I went to school, the first time I went to that church in Florida, there was a graduation. I guess it was the second time I went. There was a graduation going on, so there were a lot of people there. The service was supposed to start at 6, and it started early. And I got there. Those doors were like those doors at back of our auditorium, and I opened that door, and I'm telling you, the song service was on. I know one thing that immediately impressed me as soon as I stepped inside of the auditorium and everybody's singing. Unquestionably, I have what I would call very little sensitivity to whether I'm in the presence of the Holy Spirit or some other spirit or whatever. Some people are so spiritually well, they'll tell you, man, the Lord was really there, or did you sense there was a real demon in that person? I don't know that I have a good sensitivity to all that, but I'm telling you, I walked in the door that day. There was no question the Holy Spirit was in that service. You could tell it. It was like there was a pulse. It was so evident that it was there. And I can tell you that sometimes in song people get carried away, and I would say perhaps some of what we did in a song service was a little bit more of the flesh than it was of the Spirit. I can remember one time we sang a song. We had two hymn books, like we had the Great Hymns of Faith, and then we had a small pamphlet with some special songs in it. And we sang one of the special songs, and about the third verse, about half the hymn books in people's hands went flying through the air. Praise God! Fluttering pages coming down. I'm like, I don't know if that was the Lord or if that was, but whatever it was, I guess it was better than being in a morgue. Right? So, you know, you've been to services before where the people are singing, and I mean, it's just like, why are we even having the song service? Right? Because it's just like, feels like dead. Well, the kind of praise that's comely for the upright is the kind of praise that you have when you praise God with your whole heart and when you praise God with your song. You know what's so cool about singing a good congregational service here? Is you sing and the stuff is in you, and when you wake up in the morning, one of those songs is on your lips when you're getting out of bed in the morning. That is the coolest thing, because there's so many other things that could be on your mind, kind of like it was in the old days. It was not good morning, Lord, but good Lord, it's morning. Yeah. Psalm 22. Here's another kind of praise that's comely. The kind of praise that you have when you praise God in the congregation. Psalm 22, verse 22. Psalm 22, verse 22. Look at this. I will declare, so it's a declaration, thy name unto my brethren, so we're together. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So that's that kind of declaration we have during that period of our service on Wednesday night, where I'll say, is there anybody that wants to praise the Lord for something? Look at verse 25. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. So this isn't the song of praise. This is the declaration of praise. When you praise God in the congregation for something that God did, that you know God did, and everybody else can tell God did by the declaration that you make. And I'll say this, if you can't praise God in here, you're going to have a really hard time praising him out there among the heathen. I know that God, and there's a passage in here, I know that God wants us to be able to praise him among the heathen because that's a testimony to them that he really is alive. But if you can't praise him in here among the brethren, in the great congregation, it's really tough to be out there and tell somebody, boy, I'll tell you something God has done for me that's so good. Now, sometimes, and we all have to be aware of this anyway, sometimes our praises maybe a little bit more just like an announcement of something good going on in our lives. It's just, hey, I want everybody to know I passed the test. Okay. It sometimes can be a little bit hard to tell whether we can attribute that to God or whether that's just an announcement of something good going on in your life. I'm not going to fuss with you over it, but we want something that we know and you know God knows God did. And this is some real reason to praise him. You know, we have to be a little bit careful also when we're praising God in declaration, that we're not just doing it to be heard or seen. Oh, look how spiritual I am. Expressions like that are not so much directed to the Lord and his glory as they are more to, like, I'm not backslidden. I just wanted you to know. I can remember years ago, again, when we were in Florida, street preaching on Saturday was like a big deal, and it was pretty evident if somebody was skipping out. So we were there, again, I hadn't enrolled in school yet, and I was sitting about where Stephanie is, and the guy that skipped Saturday street preaching was sitting about where you are, Donnie. And so one of the guys that was always there, very zealous, came up to him and said, I saw you weren't there on Saturday. So a praise opportunity was given, and this guy, praise the Lord for something good God's done in my life. And it's like, I think you're just trying to let everybody else know that when you skipped yesterday, because you weren't backslidden. So we have to be careful with our expressions. Sometimes we can be flippant. Sometimes we can be self-serving. Sometimes we can be, I got to think of something to say. God's really not doing anything in my life, but if I make it sound good, it'll be okay. It's not. None of that is the declaration. The declaration is a declaration of something that when you praise the Lord, everybody in the room knows God did something. And he's the one that should get all the praise. That's what it's for. He's the one who does good. And we want to magnify the Lord. As I told you before, when I was young in the ministry, I got frustrated when people would praise the Lord for something little until the Lord really smoked me about that. And it's like, I get involved in the little things. The little things in people's lives are important to me. We don't have to part the Red Sea every Wednesday just for me to get glory, okay? And I appreciated that reproof from the Lord. I mean, honestly, when it's something God has done that's good and he's worthy of praise for something, it's good to be able to declare that to the congregation and say, I just want y'all to know God's really been good. And that's not because I'm so good. It's because he's so good. Okay? And then the kind of praise that is comely is not only the kind of praise that we give when we give it with our whole heart or in song or in the congregation, but this. The kind of praise that's comely is the kind of praise you give when you give it to God continually. When you praise God continually. Look in Psalm 34. In other words, the only time we praise God shouldn't be, it's Wednesday. we should be able to praise God continually. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. David says in Psalm 35, the last verse, 28, Psalm 35, 28, my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. All the day long. Praising God continually, at all times, all the day long. Some of us were awakened last night to thunder and lightning. Huh? And no electricity. Sorry, you had that happen. No, we had the electricity, but we had some thunder and lightning. And I had been praying this: Lord, please send the right amount of rain at the right time in the right location. Well, we have that little forecast on the monitor out there in the foyer, and I'm here, you know, every day and go by that thing and look at it. Well, there were no raindrops in the forecast for yesterday. Now, I don't watch the news at night, so I didn't know at 10 o'clock that there was some possible forecast for it at that point. You know, it's pretty easy if you're a weatherman to forecast the rain when it's right outside the city limits, coming your way, right? So, but the real forecast, you know, like earlier in the morning, there was nothing on the horizon for rain in our area. Man, when I went to sleep last night and woke up at 1:30 this morning to the sound of thunder and lightning, the first thing off my lips was, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord." Man, that is like music to my ears. Then I went on back to sleep, and I'm wondering, I wonder how much we got, because the thunder and lightning didn't last. You got 2 inches? I got an inch. Doyle got, or 9/10 of an inch. Doyle got a little over an inch. And I'm like, "Boy, howdy, that was wonderful. That put such a smile on my face." Because nobody but God could do that. That's God's business. And I just really put a smile on my face. I thought that was so cool. Anyway, you and I shouldn't be ashamed to give glory to God. You know, the people out there are cussing him all the time. You know, somebody ought to stand up for God and say, look, God did this. And they're like, "Well, I don't believe in God." Don't worry about what they think. Only concern yourself with what God thinks. And when you can praise the Lord, if it's appropriate to praise the Lord for something he's done, then let the heathen know he's the one that did it. You know, perhaps your testimony will be the very thing that will help them know that he's real. I have one story to give you about that that now comes to mind, and then we'll close the message. Just keep it nice and short. You get it? So years ago, there was a guy that had gangrene in his foot. That's nasty. That's amputation stuff. And it was working through the ankle and starting to work up his leg. And the doctor came to him and he said, I'm going to do the best that I can, but you are probably going to have an amputation. And the patient said, "I'm a Christian and I'm going to pray to God." And the doctor said, "Well, I'm an atheist, so you do whatever you think you have to do." All right. And so the patient is praying, and the doctor comes in every day. And when he works so diligently. I don't know if you know what gangrenous feet are like, but you got to peel all that nastiness off of there, and you got to do it every day. And he's working so diligently. And, of course, this guy is over there going, "Praise God, I've got such a good doctor that comes in here," and is like, "Yeah, whatever." Well, I mean, this went on for how many ever days? I'm going to say, because it's an old illustration, I can't remember, but well, 3 or 4 weeks this doctor is coming in there peeling away all that death. And he's looking for new, fresh, healed skin to be present. Every day that guy's praising God. Every day that doctor's working. About 30 days into this thing, the doctor comes in, takes the wrapping off, looks at the foot, and he goes, "Praise God!" And the patient said, I thought you were an atheist. He said, "For what's happened here? Not today." It affected him. It affected him. And our praise affects other people too, particularly when it's sincere. Doesn't seem to be some shallow, just trite expression that Christians give, but a real sincere, wholehearted type of praise that you can give in the congregation, and everybody knows it real, that you can give in song for the Savior that you love, that you can say continually, "Look, God looks down at his people and says, now that is comely. That's what I expect to see on my kids, and my kids looking good when they praise me like that." Amen. Father, we're very thankful today to be instructed out of the Scripture on your praise. And now when we have the opportunity to continue our song service praising you, our opportunity to praise you and some of the things you've done here about our missionaries' praises, we rejoice, Father, that you have given us this opportunity with our own lips, with our own hearts, to be able to praise you. Now we ask you to bless what you do amongst us for Jesus' sake. Amen.